Audris Faye Tritch was born on July 23rd, 1934. She became a child of God through the waters of baptism on August 12th, 1934, and she was confirmed in the truths of the Christian faith on May 16th, 1948. God united Audris in marriage to Hal on November 1st, 1952. God has blessed Hal and Audris with children David and Pam, as well as grandchildren Rebecca, Tommy, Lewis, JJ, Joshua, Hannah, Isabella, Katarina, Ronan, and Rory. Audris was called home to heaven on January 30th, 2019. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Audris, and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought her to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word, carry our burdens, and lead us through this earthly life until at last we are united with you and all the saints in glory everlasting. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely.
Well, in the house of the Lord forever. Continue with the song sung by the soloist.
Thank you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God.
He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, we will be before the throne of God. Never again will we hunger.
Never again will we thirst.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Let us pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son, Jesus, to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As we seek comfort today, we go to the Word of God, very fittingly, and also to Psalm 16, first off, because this was a psalm of David. And David, as he pondered his own life, really looked forward to something else, another life, and he knew it was going to happen, thanks to God. Audrys experienced this too, from Psalm 16. "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." The word of the Lord. As we consider the eternal joys that Audrys is experiencing now and forever, it's really something we cannot imagine. And yet, that's what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us and revealed to her as well. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit." The word of the Lord. The gospel lesson that we celebrate today comes from John chapter 14. This will also serve as the sermon text. We recognize what is the way to those eternal pleasures at God's right hand. Jesus is, from John chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Gospel of the Lord. Now join together in hymn 432 in the Red Songbooks, I Am Jesus, Little Lamb. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Son that he sent to save us, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning comes from the Gospel, from John chapter 14. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your truth. Amen. I started visiting Audris in about June of last year. For the first few months, without fail, I would always miss the turn onto Robert Creek Court into the cul-de-sac where her house was, where she was living. Without fail, every single time, because if you're going down Old Auburn, you got these trees and shrubbery that kind of pinch in the road. You can't really see. And all of a sudden, boom, you get through it and you miss it. You don't even see the sign. You can't see the intersection. I would always miss the way. I'd have to do a U-turn and go back. But once I got to that house, I knew I was going to experience some pretty special blessings. First of all, in the last couple of years of Audris's life, you really had to speak really loudly into her one ear if she was going to hear you. And as a pastor, that was such a blessing, because in the house along with her were other people, and you knew that as I'm shouting these gospel encouragements, everyone else is going to be hearing those too. Another blessing that I really loved was whenever I would show her an updated picture of my children, you knew that she just loved kids. Her love would just pour out. Her eyes would get all aglow, and she'd get this little smile on her face. You also knew in the last few years of Audris' life that there could be good days and bad days when it came to her awareness or to her memory. But it didn't matter, because another one of those blessings that I learned was, good days or bad, her caring heart was always evident, every single time. And especially for her family, she loved you all very much. But I gotta say, my favorite blessing that I would experience is on those good days when I would ask her the question, Audris, do you remember who Jesus is? She'd give me the yes, like it was the dumbest question I could have ever asked her. Like, well, yeah. Audris knew who he was. And it was such a comfort knowing that faith doesn't rest in here. Faith rests in the soul. And it was resting securely in hers. So in this time of difficult separation, we're going to miss those times when we get to see her smile, when we get to see her caring heart, and see her faith in action. But the question then becomes, are we ever going to see that smile and that caring heart again? Audris knew the answer to that question. She knew where she was going. Audris knew the way to that house. Now, if we're going to talk about Audris knowing the way, we have to talk about that house, that destination. Where is Audris? Where was she going? Well, Jesus tells us that here in John 14. John 14 is right during the Last Supper, when Jesus is trying to tell his disciples and encourage them right before he's about to be betrayed, arrested, and killed. They were about to experience some difficult separation from their Father. And so Jesus encourages them with these words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus tells them not to be troubled because he's preparing a place for them in the Father's house. That's where Audris is. That was the destination. She is in heaven, living with God, living with her Lord. Now notice that that house has rooms, many rooms. That means that this place where Audris is living is not temporary. It's not like she's renting it and then she's going to get booted out for somebody else to come in. No, she is there forever. When you're in the Father's house, you're in there forever. And Jesus was preparing that place for her. And notice also when he says there are many rooms, that means he's preparing a place for us too. And that's unfathomable, isn't it? Because we know, I mean, really deep down, if we think about the destination that we deserve, it's certainly not the Father's house. If we're going to talk about going a certain way, then we know deep down that we have all at some point gone our own way. We followed this temptation off the path into that sin, this temptation off the path into the sin of anger or of doubt or into this sin or that sin. We can get enticed by the sinful paths that mankind creates with other gods, like money, like other gods who have names, like prestige. We can even follow a path for ourselves, thinking that the way to the Father's house is myself and my goodness and my good works. But really, we know deep down that those paths are all lies. They don't lead to the Father's house. And if we really take a step back, we realize they lead all to the same place. Every single one of those paths leads to death. We don't need a reminder today that sin leads to death. But once we take a look at all of those paths, we realize we don't have a way to the Father, not a single one on our own. So how are we going to get there if we don't know the way? Well, God created the way. As Jesus tells his disciples, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When all other paths that we had led to death, God sent Jesus. And now Jesus is the way to the Father. He's the only way. That means all of those other gods, all of trust in ourselves, all of those other sins, they don't lead there. No. Jesus is the only way to the Father's house. And that's because Jesus is no lie. He is the truth. How do you know that? When you look at the truth of God's word that he gave us, it all centers in Jesus. It's all about what he did. And when you read the scriptures, you realize that Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, never took a wrong path. Every path he ever took was perfectly straight going towards the Father's house. He never veered off. He lived a perfect, holy life. And when you really dive into those scriptures, you know that that path actually becomes your path. He gives you credit for that holy life. That means when Jesus was walking that path, he was paving our way to heaven. That's why he's the way. It's already done. We don't have to do anything. And if you're wondering if that punishment that we deserve and that death is going to come following us on that path, no, Jesus made sure that it didn't. Because he went running down our every path of sin that led to death, and he took that eternal death upon himself. Jesus wiped away and erased every sinful path we ever took. We are forgiven of every sin. All that's left for us, thanks be to God, is that path to the Father's house. And that's what Audrey knew. She knew that Jesus was the way. She trusted in him and what he did. And now, she also gets to experience something else. All of those beautiful blessings that she gets to experience in her Father's house. David talked about them in Psalm 16. Said, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That's what Audrey is experiencing right now. She's experiencing that life and what that means. She got a little taste of it here on this earth when it came to faith, but now she's really experiencing it in heaven. And someday she's going to experience it to the full, that life, because God is going to raise that dead body of Audrey's and reunite it with her soul, and she will live in perfection without sin, without the worry of death ever again. She will be living with her Father forever. So are we ever going to see that smile and that caring heart again? Yes, we are. Because we know the way, just as Audrey did. Trusting in Jesus is the way, and he's paved that way to heaven for us. So as we go out into this life and as we make this misturn and this misturn, we remember the truth. We remember the truth of where those paths lead so that we can do a U-turn and get to our Father's house, knowing that all of those missteps are behind us forever, all thanks to Jesus. Audrey knew the way and has the life, and that's the truth. Amen. May that truth guard your minds and your hearts in this time. Amen. We now confess our faith, the same faith that Audrey confessed according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Continue with the next hymn.
Thank you.
continue with prayer on page 7. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and eternal life in heaven to light. We give you thanks because by his death, Jesus destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because Jesus lives, all those who know him and trust in him as Savior will also live.
Deal kindly with those who mourn the passing of Audrus. Move them to gather around your word for comfort. Be their strength. Speak to them through your word, and remind them that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate anyone from your love, which is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We continue with the reading of the obituary, which you'll find on the back page of the worship folder. Audrus Faye Tritch was born on July 23, 1934, in The Grove, Texas. She was the second of three girls born to Hilda and John Richter. She was baptized at The Grove Lutheran Church the same year. The family moved to Tarabella, California, in 1944. They attended Zion Lutheran Church. The girls attended Zion Elementary School. Audrus was confirmed and married at Zion as well. She met Harold Tritch in high school. They were married on November 1, 1952. Their son David was born on February 25, 1955, and daughter Pam on February 18, 1959. Audrus and Hal took care of David for 57 years. The family lived in Sylmar, California, for 18 years. They attended First Lutheran Church, where Audrus was very active. She visited the elderly shut-ins with a service on tape every week. She would also shop and do errands for them. She started the hot lunch program at First Lutheran Elementary School. Audrus was involved in the Altar Guild, and she sang in the choir. She sewed all the time. She taught Pam to sew as well. Pam's closet was always full of dresses. Audrus was also an excellent cook. In 1979, the family moved here to Sacramento. They joined St. Mark's and have been attending ever since. Audrus arranged funeral dinners here for many years. She also had her time of heading the Altar Guild and singing in the choir. She loved her role as grandma and great-grandma. She liked butterflies and Dalmatian dogs. Her favorite color was blue. Because of declining health, Audrus had been living in one of the Robert Creek Villa care homes in Citrus Heights, where she was well taken care of for 3 years and 9 months. She is preceded in death by her parents, sister Laverne and son David. She is survived by her sister Janice, husband Harold, daughter Pam, and 4 grandchildren, John, Amy, Michael, Matthew, and her great-grandchildren, Rebecca, Tommy, Lewis, J.J., Joshua, Hannah, Isabella, Katerina, Ronan, and Rory. We take comfort in knowing that she is with our Lord. God be with her until we meet again at Jesus' feet. The family would like to thank you for coming out today and celebrating what Jesus did for Audrus in her life. We'd also invite you to a luncheon that we have prepared over in the parish hall. Before we get there, we would like to say the common table prayer together so that once you get in there, you can start eating. We pray.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.
God be with you.